Hey, this is Matt from Comixology. This week we have Hollywood hotshot Sean Williams. His new book is this week's Fairest, an earth-shattering, spoilerific tale you cannot miss from Vertigo. We also talked about his digital-first comic, Artful Daggers, and Standing Desks. Enjoy. Hollywood legend. Has anyone called you a Hollywood legend before? Can I call you that?
You can. I don't think it'd be accurate, though.
So, Fairest.
Yes.
Coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest story of all time in the Fable universe. Probably safe to say that.
That might not be as exaggerating as you think it is.
It's interesting. There, the promotion of your arc,
mm-hmm.
There was a lot of talk that, you know, Fable fans kind of wait for the trade. Maybe mm-hmm. they read in trade form, but you guys are saying, do not wait for the trade.
Don't wait for the trade.
It'll be like spoiler town.
Yeah. And I mean, Bill and I have been actively suppressing a lot of info about my arc
mm-hmm.
For 2 years. So,
I remember reading articles. It felt like 2009.
Yeah.
I was like, Sean Williams going to be writing Fairest.
Well, they brought basically everyone for the first three arcs on all at the same time. So, you know, and had us all start working at the same time just so, you know, we have that backlog of stuff going. So yeah, I've been working on it for that long, and it's...
What can you tell us about it, and maybe to not melt brains?
You want to pick up the first issue.
And that's it. That's all you can say.
No, it's a two-hander story. So one of the two characters is named Nalayani. And she is a character in the epic, one of the epics of Hinduism, the Mahabharata. And the story starts kind of, you know, in her village and her being the de facto leader and trying to save it, you know, mm-hmm. setting out on this journey to find the Maharaja, who's the other part of the two-person team.
Right.
And so, yeah, so the arc's called The Return of the Maharaja. Which has multiple meanings, as the arc plays out. So
when have you been sitting on like finished work for like 3 years? Like, what's that like? That's like making a movie.
I think I finished the first drafts of, all six scripts last year. Mm-hmm. And since then it's just been rewriting and, you know, doing lettering passes, you know, once we get into production mm-hmm. and all that stuff. So
what's Fable Town like? Fable Town and Beyond is like a con just for
it was amazing.
Fables.
It was unlike any other convention. It was like all the best parts of every convention concentrated and just super condensed. And, I'm praying that Bill does it again or somebody else does it again. Cause, everyone who went had a great time. All the people who tabled had, great success with their sales, and I mean nobody knew what to expect going in.
Yeah,
so to be able to turn that around, and
I think I heard last night that Bill was like singing at one point during the convention.
He sang several times during the convention. Yeah.
It was like performance art.
Yeah,
and just an enjoyable time. How long was it, like a few days?
It was like normal convention length. I think it started I think it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it was like Friday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday.
Have you been to MorrisCon? MorrisonCon?
No, I couldn't afford the ticket
for that.
That was
like some kind of religious experience.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's like $1,500 a ticket or some such.
Yeah.
And it was like, I felt it was interesting because I think half of it was like creators too.
Yeah.
Where you go and there's like, I think Mark Waid was like guest of honor. And you're just like sitting in a room, maybe kumbayaing, and everyone was just having a great time with Grant Morrison. It seems like a crazy experience.
Yeah, I can only imagine. FablesCon had a little bit of that, but not
right.
as much.
Maybe not group singing.
No, exactly.
Dancing.
Well, there was group singing. There was group dancing. There was some a lot of Cards Against Humanity. Every
really?
Night. Yeah.
Great game.
Yeah. There's a big ballroom that we took over at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of gaming going on, which was fun.
So why move to comics from the fame and fortune of Hollywood? For more fame and fortune? Is
yes.
that the reason?
Actually, yeah. No, it happened totally organically. Like I was doing the Hollywood thing, you know, writing and producing, and the Fairest thing came up, and so I started working on that, and then I started working with an executive at a production company who was also an editor at a publisher. And so I started bringing him comic ideas for that. And then I started writing prose and getting that stuff published. So it was like, okay, all roads are kind of leading here. And then when my wife got a job in rural Minnesota, it's like, okay, I can't really do Hollywood stuff from Minnesota.
Can't
so
work remote.
No,
necessarily.
But comics you can. So, yeah. You know, it's worked out great.
The standing desk.
Yes.
And it blows my mind.
Oh my God. It's so great. What, and I love talking about it.
What led you to even attempt the standing desk?
The standing desk, I think it was a matter of like it just kept showing up on my radar. Articles about standing desks, a couple of writers I respect use standing desks. That, and then also a vertical keyboard, at the same time, like people started talking about vertical keyboards, and I know enough writers, who do prose, who have like RSI and like, you know, carpal tunnel syndrome and all this stuff. That's like, I don't want to go down that road. I want to be able to continue to make my living doing writing.
Right.
So I like went all in and, on this last move, got a standing desk, got a vertical keyboard. And haven't looked back. Like it's just so I'm so much more productive and energetic. I pace a lot too when I'm writing and brainstorming. So you know, getting up and down from the chair.
What was like the first few days like?
Exhausting.
Yeah.
Particularly with the standing desk, like after like 3 hours, it's like, okay, I gotta sit down.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd go and sit and read. But after that, like, I mean, I don't even think about it anymore. The only time I really sit is if I'm doing like a Skype call or something like that, and I got to get down level with my laptop.
Right.
So,
I know someone that uses a standing desk and a treadmill.
Yeah, I couldn't
is that like
do
the
that,
next
I
level of?
It's too hardcore for me.
That seems like super bizarre. Like you're trying to type an email while either walking or, pray not running, and then you just like possibly die.
Yeah,
while on a standing desk.
Exactly. Well, I had a cheap IKEA desk chair, and so like. I was writing so much that like I was starting to get like a pinched nerve thing too. So there was that physical motivation as well.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I like being comfortable.
So you have Artful Daggers, which is a digital first through Monkey Brain.
Yes.
With Adam P. Knave. I call him the Alec Baldwin of this podcast. He's been on, I think, countless times.
Nice.
But how do you view, you know, the digital first scene compared to, you know, something like Ferris, where you've had written for ages, is the dynamic super different for you as a writer?
It is in that, like, we had such a long lead time for Ferris, but, you know, having a monthly schedule, I think, is the same, whether it's digital or print.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still have the same deadlines to hit. You still have, or at least we're treating it that way. Like, I mean, we're working a couple months out on Artful Daggers and doing all the pre-order stuff, and so it's... you know, we have hard deadlines that we have to hit. It's not like we can be like, oh, you know, we'll just do one every 4 months. It's a monthly comic. And so in that sense, I think it's the same. The great thing with digital is that, you know, not everywhere in the U.S. has access to a comic shop, but everywhere does have access to Comixology.
Yeah. Internet.
You know, digital comics. Yeah. So I think that it's a whole new world for the comics industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's going to take us places that people don't.
Fame and fortune.
Yeah.
I think is the ideal.
Fortune
place.
And glory.
there was a cool article when Fables, I think, first went digital. You know, the Vertigo paper stock is a little different than most comics.
Yeah.
And people were seeing that, like, the print quality, like the digital quality was like the masters of the page. And it was like a super difference, which I totally didn't realize at the time. And that was a cool change for like Fable readers, trade waiters.
Yeah. Well, and, I'm not going to put words in Andrew's mouth, but I was talking with Andrew Dollhouse yesterday and cause he did the coloring on the first arc of Ferris, and yeah, I think they print on newsprint and, like when he had that side by side with the newsprint and the digital, he had to adjust, you know, his color palette,
interesting
to compensate for the newsprint. But his stuff looks great digital. Like,
yeah.
I mean, everything I've seen for this arc is just, you know, it takes it to a whole new level. It's fantastic.
What do you read in your free time? What do you seek out?
In my free time, the crazy thing is like, I don't really have time for prose anymore cause I'm a slow reader. And so like I'm reading comics exclusively pretty much. Like, Dark Horse Presents is one of my regular things. And then I like, you know, testing out all the new stuff that's coming out just to see what's out there and, you know, see what I want to pick up and stick with.
The Dark Horse Presents is a great format.
Oh, I love it.
I love that anthology where you just, you know, a short story, kind of like a comic novella,
mm-hmm.
and then you put it into that and you just discover it and love it, and then you just go on the next one.
Yeah. Well, I love the whole serialized storytelling too, and like having those little snippets, mm-hmm. either, you know, one long continual one or little episodic ones. It's a great way to introduce stories to readers, you know, yeah. and get people on board with a property before launching it. So
I love their numbering system. Like Baltimore is one of my favorite books.
Uh-huh.
And it's not a monthly. Occasionally it'll be like a Baltimore one shot.
Yeah.
And like 2 months later, there's a two parter.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish all books were like that. Like a lot of Marvel books, I wish this was a limited series,
mm-hmm.
or I wish every storyline was like a limited series. So mm-hmm. it's like, it's easier for readers to jump in.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, for me, like Justified is one of my current favorite shows,
mm-hmm.
And a big part of that is that you know, they have each episode has its own plot that's like standalone, but then over the course of the whole season, like you slowly ramp up over you know arching arc mm-hmm. for the whole season, but each season is standalone too at the same time, so it's like it's this great like
slow
easy
build.
To get into, but at the same time like. Standalone-y and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's great. I love that that type of storytelling.
Sean Williams, Hollywood legend. It's
nice.
It's been a treat speaking with you today.
Thanks
I
for
hope
having me.
I hope Ferris fans, you know, dig the major change quote, shakeup quote that is happening.
Spoilers.
May 1st. May 1st. But thanks for taking the time out.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.